most hilarious piece of anti-drug propaganda since Reefer Madness?
It might be. It's it's quite wrong-headed.
Or, it's, well, maybe it's good intentions, Steve.
No, it's not. It's a, you know what it is? It's like a bandwagon thing. Like, somebody was like, you know what we should do to help kids? And then, like, some other idiot was
put
like...
Put the band on the wagon.
This is another great idea. Hey, he's got a good idea. Yeah, that guy's got a good idea. Cartoon team up. And, you know, I want to... Like, let's just set it in a cartoon world, a regular schmegular cartoon world. Not in this fake Night at the Museum, everything's coming to life sort of, kind of. It's really creepy because some things are toys, some things are jumping out of books like Gumby.
And they reference themselves of being cartoons.
Yeah.
Even though they're supposedly in, I guess, the real world now. I'm not too sure of what the physics are.
Is it kind of like Wreck-It Ralph where everything like lives on this one mainframe, but they're aspects of one thing?
Right.
Oh, that might be.
Yeah. Speaking of stoned, that's all three of us right now, I guess.
Welcome to Animation Damnation number 9. This week we're talking about the Cartoon All-Stars. What is it called? Is that it? The Cartoon
All-Stars to the Rescue.
To the Rescue from 1990. I'm Andrew Jupin alongside Eric Siska and Steven Sadak, fellas. This is the first of two listener request animation damnations we're going to be doing. This one's out on the main feed, as you might have noticed. To spread the word about our app and our Bandcamp page, which is where you can normally find Animation Damnation.
And
shows.
If your reaction is, oh, what the fuck, I paid for it. Like, I get it. But we got another one that's app only that'll be released
later this month.
Later this month.
There it is. that's that.
So and we should just quickly, it's whmpodcast.bandcamp.com to buy single episodes of Animation Damnation.
Correct.
And then to get the app, if you're using iOS, you know, on your iPhones and what have yous, you want to download the Podcast Box app.
Correct.
And then you can get our app within that app. It's like inception of apps.
They really made it so uselessly complicated.
Right, but if you got an Android, it's pretty simple.
Go to the Amazon store. It's right there. If you have a Windows phone, it's in the Google Play store.
Right.
It's right there. So like we said, this is the first of two listener requests. So we had you write in. So Steve, you have the email handy.
Yeah.
There was like a lot of people that requested this. So we're really just picking from like 10 emails of the same cartoon.
I actually used a rule, which is the person farthest away from us wins.
Ooh.
Oh, very smart.
Gentlemen, I started listening to your show about 6 months ago. ... And lots of praise. Everybody loves him.
When does he start talking about the cartoons, Steve?
It's happening. I understand that you're looking for...
7 pages later.
I'm looking for money. I'm a Nigerian prince. No. I understand that you're looking for episodes of animated shows to discuss at length, and I would imagine that more than one person has submitted this request. You're right. But if not, I hope you will review 1990s Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, an extended drug PSA featuring Looney Tunes, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Ninja Turtles, Ninja Turtle, actually.
Yeah, one singular Ninja Turtle, and arguably the worst one.
And God knows who else.
Fair enough.
Even back then, it was an insufferable half hour of preachy, patronizing schlock, which made me feel more than uncomfortable and embarrassed watching it than I would ever feel getting busted by the police for drinking underage. But nearly 25 years later, I imagine its cringe-inducing qualities have only intensified. You're right. Nick from Antarctica, by the way.
Holy shit.
No. Yeah. No. He is stationed there until March 2015.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Well, Nick from Antarctica.
Dude, look out for things, man.
look out for so many things. Yeah, I mean, look out for Keith David, because I think he might be the thing at the end of that movie.
I think that's what you're supposed to believe.
Mm-hmm.
There's that thing, though, about like one of them's not breathing or some such. I haven't watched it in a while, but yeah, look out for Wilford Brimley. Look out for jangly walking dogs.
Wow, I think we've gotten most of the continents now.
Antarctica isn't even in risk, you know? You can't even take that shit over in risk.
Right, because you can't put a whole army there.
No,
you just have to move them out immediately. It's a dumb move.
So, Nick from Antarctica, we hope this episode warms you up a little bit down there. So this thing is the craziest darn thing I've ever seen. And full disclosure, by the way, if you want to talk about like how to exemplify the utter failure that this project is,
kind of downed a tall glass of water while I was watching it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just putting that out there.
And we will put a link on our Facebook and Twitter feed. So, you know, you can watch it yourself and you be the judge.
You can see George Herbert Walker and Barbara Bush introduce this cartoon.
It's fantastic because the shot they used it to go to the White House, because it's like first... it's just a graphic. It's this cartoon All Stars to the Rescue. Then you get the White House and the zoom in you would literally get on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, like at that same era, like 90s, yeah. Like 86 to 92 SNL, it's the same stock footage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Woo! Dana Carvey comes out.
That'd be amazing.
You know, Barr, they want me to do this cartoon. Don't know what to think about it. Love smoking reefer myself, Barr.
So they're on a couch, and like they are just, this is the fifth thing they did today. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, being president and first lady is a time-consuming gig.
They endorse the death penalty, like on a commercial.
Gotta
like
do it. Gotta do it.
Gotta keep the death penalty in Wisconsin now, or else everyone's, your population's gonna overgrow.
Gotta bomb Kuwait. Gotta do that. Gotta get it done. You don't want to pay $5 a gallon for gas now, do you? Do ya? Oh, now the drug commercial. Okay.
And Barbara Bush has this dog in a fucking headlock. Like
this dog is minutes away from death.
Well, I think the idea was like they are so like imposing and grandfatherly. Like you want to soften it up a bit. We're about to watch a cartoon show here.
Yeah.
So I got this fucking dog, and this dog's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
They gave this dog a 1991 equivalent of Benadryl, whatever that is.
A dog-a-drill.
Mellow him the fuck out. Maybe they blew weed in his face.
Benadryl didn't exist yet, I guess.
I think Benadryl was around. Benadryl's been around for a while.
Probably.
What's great, though, is like you think about, you said they're like grandparent-like, right?
Yeah.
And like they so are. Think about like then the Clintons and then George W. and Laura and then the Obamas, like. They're significantly younger. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you get these two fucking skeletons out here, and they're just like, now you shouldn't do drugs, little kids. Here's some of your favorite cartoons to tell you about it. I'm not going to listen to you. I don't care if you're the president, the first lady. Well, He-Man, meet my wife!
What was that? Was that one of the cartoons?
Well, no, Skeletor doesn't make an appearance.
Right.
Yeah, where was Skeletor and Prince Adam to duke it out?
You can use my head as a bong!
That was in the New Hampshire primaries.
So this whole thing is like this girl wakes up. There's like a thief in the night, right? Like the door opens. Someone steals her piggy bank. This girl's asleep.
Right.
And all of these cartoon characters, starting with the Smurfs.
Come out of a comic book.
Right. Like Holy Papa Smurf God. Wakes up and he's like.
So it's a Gumby rules.
Yeah. You got a lot of Gumby rules with this. And like Papa Smurf wakes up and he's like, well, someone's stolen Laura's piggy bank. And you're like, shut up, Papa Smurf.
Of course he has to get in.
Is
like.
Is someone using that for drugs? Can I get in on that?
Oh, no. Someone's smurfing around on my turf. Because you know he's keeping all those Smurfs in line with copious amounts of drugs that only he can provide.
Absolutely.
They're so small, you know, just little Johnny or whatever drops a little leaf and they're set in the village for a few weeks.
Listen, when you're the only pusher on the corner, you can charge whatever you like.
It's kind of a Marcy Marlene situation down on that Smurf island.
You can't leave Smurfville, dude. Mm. Like he's like, yeah, sure, you can go. See how you make it in the real world. We'll be here waiting for you when you inevitably fail.
Dude,
is there Smurf Rumspringer?
John Hawkes as Papa Smurf? I'm into that movie.
Way better than those live action movies.
Yeah, they definitely didn't go dark enough with the Smurfs.
Here, Vanity, I'm going to show you how to shoot this gun. Just point it at that dog. So the Smurfs like come out and then like what we got Alf.
Alf is it's great because like some of these and this conceit gets dropped almost immediately, the whole like, you know, what we're calling Gumby rules, like she has just a picture of Alf on her dresser.
Why are you doing a thing about like drugs are bad? Here's all your cartoon friends to tell you drugs are bad. Through an obvious drug trip. Like,
yeah, that's,
how else is everything coming out at you like
it's
this?
The biggest problem with this entire thing. It's just a 30-minute trip. It's a 30-minute trip that's railing against mainly smoking weed, by the way.
But, yeah. You know what? I mean, it is a good trip, though. Don't get me wrong. And I'm like, I'll have what she's having.
So you got Alf. You got Garfield, who's a lamp.
Yeah.
And why isn't Alf eating Garfield?
He threatens to at one point.
Sure, but...
Well, yeah. Garfield's like, this thing's stupid. And Alf's like, no, come on, kid, or else I'll eat you.
You better help find this piggy bank or I'm going to bite the throat out of your neck while you're still breathing.
You fucking cat.
You lazy piece of shit. I'll take the lasagna pan and shove it right up your ass, cat.
And, you know, I don't appreciate Garfield being sassed around by Alf, okay?
No, I don't either.
No, because Garfield is way... He's Mount Olympus and fucking Alf is selling concession stand at the Yankees, all right?
Yo, hot dogs right here! Yo! The thing about it is I totally forgot that Alf was a cartoon. They did, like, the Alf cartoon.
Yo, got any money for a veteran? Gets cold out here outside of Yankee Stadium.
So he's there. We got Kermit the Frog, like baby Kermit the Frog from Muppet Babies.
But he's the Borg because he's the alarm clock and he's got like little things on his eyes.
Yeah, it's really weird. And he just comes to life like once his like little buzzer goes off. Super weird.
But he's still a clock for a little while, but then they just shake that off kind of.
Yeah, the clock face like falls out of his tummy, I guess. I don't know what's going on there. So you got
and
that.
Then, and then the kids are going to have to put him back together, right? Like violently shoving the clock mechanics back.
No!
I turned into your friend. I'm not a clock anymore.
I have feelings.
I was a real baby frog. No!
Well, it ain't easy being green.
And then the Alvin and the Chipmunks come out of a record, and Slimer comes out of nowhere.
He comes out of the wall.
Was Slimer just haunting this house?
Yep.
What's awesome is like they're all like, we're going to go find the piggy bank. And they all run out. And Slimer's still there. Slimer eats a fake bowl of fruit and like burps or something. And then a headlight comes out of his mouth. And the headlight shines where like the piggy bank used to be on the dresser.
Yeah.
And this girl's just like, oh, no, my piggy bank's gone. Not even acknowledging that there's a ghost with a spotlight coming out of its mouth, like directing her gaze.
Because that's normal for this house.
But it's an inconsistency. Like, he must be actually haunting the house. Yes. And she's like, thanks, Slimer.
He's just a member of the family at this point.
So she follows her gut instinct and goes into her brother's room. And this guy's broken this thing open. Like, oh, there must be $20 in quarters here.
And they find all the cartoon characters are hiding under his bed. And he's like, you know, I stole it. You know, deal with it, you little get out of my room. And they're like, oh, what's going on? And they open up his little he's got a little box under his bed.
Yeah.
And sure he's got a shit ton of weed, which to me is like, why is he stealing from his sister? He's got a great stash.
Seriously.
I mean, it's a good amount. I mean, how much is this kid smoking?
It's either that or my wife was like, is he going to start dealing? Like, what was happening there?
Yeah, he needs some more seed money, I guess.
It's so, there's so much weed, you guys.
It'd be great if he offered to pay it back, you know? It's an investment in my company.
I just need to buy some baggies, you know? Like, I've got everything else but the baggies.
What I love, though, is if he does indeed, like, need to take this money to go buy more weed, can you imagine, like, him going up to the drug dealer, like, okay, here's $20 in quarters.
Oh, no, you got to change that shit, man.
Yeah, totally.
It's like in Requiem for a Dream when they go to that weird garage. Oh, yeah. He's there with some quarters.
I'll give you this TV for some heroin.
Oh, yeah, he's like he's locking her in the cabinet. Like every day he takes her piggy bank, but every night he puts it back kind of a thing. Just to get... And Simon, it's great because everyone's like, what is that? And Simon's like, looks like marijuana to me. And I'm like, oh, man, Simon, you know what's up.
Yep. I have never thought in my life. And no, I never heard of this cartoon before.
Alvin and the Chipmunks?
No, I've heard of that one.
This special.
Yes. Until people wrote in about it.
Yeah.
But just hearing one of the Alvins and the Chipmunks is saying the M word of marijuana.
It's unsettling.
It is, and it's not the last instance of this.
Nope.
Of this like kind of world bending. And again,
it's you never expected cartoons that you grew up with to start talking about weed. And how does this not encourage it?
That's the exact thing, right? Is like this thing that you love watching on Saturday morning is like taking a very brief whiff of something and is an expert about what it smells like. Like, and you're like, well, that's cool. Well, if Simon Seville knows like what weed smells like I should know what weed smells like. Right,
he
here,
does
like
also say that it causes like artificial highs or something.
Yeah. Which is hilarious because it's like, well, it's a thing that literally comes from the ground. So it's quite like literally a natural high.
And Alf goes, oh, lay off the cheap stuff, kid.
While we're here, anybody want to order Chinese food? Yo, chipmunks.
Got a quarter?
Sure is cold out here. Just got this Hawaiian shirt and no pants.
No one's rebooting my shit. Alf, it's a fucking winning premise from the 80s. Yo.
Did they explain, like, because Alf has the famous thing where, like, there's the cliffhanger where, like, the season finale is him, like, getting caught by the FBI, and then they canceled the show, and then they made, like...
Alien Autopsy.
They made, like, a TV movie several years later that kind of, like, wrapped it up. I don't know where that cartoon falls in all of this.
In the continuity
of
Alf?
Yeah, in the continuity of Alf. That's what I'm curious about. Right. Yes.
I'm guessing this is not canon to any of the characters.
Oh, Alf. That'd be great if the dad showed up. Mm-hmm. Hey, Alf.
Oh, you know, in my Alf reboot, the dad is played by Chris Helmsworth, because why not?
That's fine. Yeah. I'd watch that. So, I mean, so what this is like this kid goes around, like they kind of do an It's a Wonderful Life at one point with Bugs Bunny, who takes him on a time machine.
And you would think it's about the girl because it's mostly about the girl at first. But no, everyone's like, this kid's got a drug problem. All cartoons hands on cartoon deck.
Yeah, we're going to haunt this kid till he doesn't want to smoke weed anymore. And the whole time he's like, I'm seeing all these cartoon characters. Right. I must be high as shit.
Well, let me get this right. Okay. If you're a little girl that's good and minding your own business, all your cartoons will come to life and ignore you and hang out with your older brother who's got the weed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my God, I want to hang out with everybody. Once again, pointing kids toward, I probably should be smoking this.
It's weird because they actually show marijuana smoking in this because you wouldn't, I mean, like, which I guarantee you, even in the biggest of PSAs, you wouldn't be able to do right now. You can't have a fucking Constantine smoke a fucking cigarette after 10 p.m. on a Friday fucking night on NBC.
Are you serious?
He can't smoke.
He doesn't smoke.
He does not smoke.
One instance of him putting out a cigarette, like, as it's coming into a scene.
You know what? I'm not going to watch Constantine.
What? Good idea.
What neutered crap.
Yep.
That's unbelievable. The fucking pussification of America, man. Carlin warned us about this.
It's fucking 10 o'clock. It's in the Hannibal slot. People are fucking dead bodies and shitting in their eye sockets, but this guy can't have a fucking cigarette.
You can
That's
shit
amazing.
In someone's eye sockets and then cook it. That's fine.
That's totally
a
fine.
A cigarette.
A filthy cigarette.
You can't even fucking have a cigarette after fighting Satan. Like, you can't just be like, I need to mellow out.
Nope.
It's been a day. Speaking of smoke, So he blows out his marijuana smoke, and none other than George C. Scott comes out
as the ghost of Spliff's past or something. Like, I don't understand what this character is supposed to be. It's just like drugs.
It's right. Yeah, because then immediately one of the kids in his circle of friends is like, hey, let's do crack, and the marijuana smoke's like, hey, that's a good idea,
because marijuana is a gateway drug.
Marijuana does not want you to leave its ever loving embrace. You know what I mean? Like, if there was like, hey man, it'd be cool if you hung out with me for a while.
But in the 80s and 90s drug war narrative, if you smoke any marijuana, you will then smoke crack. Meth.
You're going to be shooting
garbage,
heroin. Selling your body.
Selling your body, then smoking that.
Smelling.
It's a vicious cycle.
But that's, I mean, it's amazing to look back on this now, like knowing how crazy that shit is, and just like see what people were putting out into the world for children to watch. Like, it's insane. But it, like, also seeing how like embarrassingly done this is, like, it's no wonder like the war on drugs was ridiculous and DARE failed, and like the cop who came up with the concept of DARE admitted that it probably turned more kids onto drugs than kept them off. Like, come on.
I remember, personal tangent, I remember being in a DARE classroom And when they, you know, he's talking about acid and all this stuff, and it's like, that's not for me. And he's like, marijuana. I was like, I'll probably wind up trying that. I don't think I'm going to like it, but I'll probably wind up trying.
Yeah, it's like, that's the one with, like, the two funny guys in those movies on Comedy Central. Like, yeah, that one seems okay. They're having a good time.
Well, no, not for you. That's your parents' generation's good time.
But yeah, no, I had the same thing. Like, the DARE officer came in one day with, like, a big brown briefcase, and he opened it up like fucking Marcellus Wallace's soul and was just like, these are what drugs look like. And I don't, they were all, like, props, you know? But it was like, look at that. There's, like, pink pills, and that's a cool fun bag of white powder, and look at the shredded green stuff. This is great. Like, it was just a cool little, like, traveling museum of drugs, like, with all bright colors and shapes. Like, how did you think that this was going to keep kids not interested in drugs?
Well, you know what? To make sure that they're really not interested, let's put their favorite cartoon characters in that situation.
And, I mean, you know, there's nothing kids hate more than George C. Scott, right? Yeah. Like, that's it. And that's the thing he doesn't even do is, like, I want the freak out where he's just like, what the fuck, Donald Duck?
Right? Like, I know.
I'm gonna fucking rip your goddamn duck throat out.
He's the best. That's the thing is, I guess because he's marijuana smoke, he can't physically get angry. So it's... I don't know. They do a bad job of making even this evil character be off-putting.
Why would you not take a known cartoon villain and have him smoking weed?
Because fucking this Marvin the Martian, man.
Was he a villain?
He was kind of... Yeah, he was
an adversary, I guess.
He was an adversary. That's a perfect way to put it.
And, you know, I'm just guessing he's lonely in space, you know? Maybe he'll
I mean, Bebop and Rocksteady are Bebop and Rocksteady,
the Beagle Boys. Imagine the Beagle Boys smoking some weed. Because Huey, Dewey, and Louie are in this movie. They're coming up. They're on deck.
I really, you know, I don't want to know what those Beagle Boys get into after dark.
They're looking at a lot of weird porn. That's the Beagle Boys crowded around the same computer looking at weird pornography.
Yep. They spent most of their life in the joint, Andrew. All in the same cell.
And they're all like weird mama's boys.
Yep. It's a weird time hanging out with the Beagle Boys. And like you go over to hang out with them and you're like, ah, they weren't like this in high school. This is weird. The joint certainly changed them.
Like, oh, wait, watch this one YouTube video. And you're like, oh, man, that's kind of racist. I'm going to go. You guys aren't cool. I was cool with Marty Beagle Boy.
Do you think it would be like anti-duck stuff? Yes. That's the racism of it.
Exactly. Ducks that can't, all these rich ducks that like suck the blood of the economy out.
Yeah.
The ducks run the entertainment industry.
Yeah, it's like a duck protocol Zion or protocol's a duckburg.
Instead of using like known villains to like help kids associate, here's this cool looking ghost voiced by a fucking actor from the 60s and 70s that these kids don't know.
Like, no.
What a dumb thing.
And you could bear, I mean, again, a lot of this, it's a really bad mix. I mean, again, I watched this off a YouTube video, but you can't understand what he's saying half the time.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I mean,
his register is too low. His register is too low and not cartoony enough.
Yeah, because it's George C. Scott. He's not gonna. You want me to be a cartoon, huh? I'm gonna do this, and you're gonna like it because the contract is signed.
When I get on stage, I gotta get really quiet.
I want to see the moment of his face. What his face looked like when he got officially offered the role of a cloud of marijuana smoke.
It probably looked the same way it did the last 40 years of his life. Grimaced.
It was that day Campbell Scott came back from Harvard and he caught him smoking weed in the garage. Like, God damn it, Campbell! Campbell, I told you about this, God damn it! You're too young and too relaxed! You're a Scott, God damn it! Act like it! Harvard boy! I imagine he went to Harvard. What am I paying for? God damn it!
Throws a bottle of scotch at him.
Yeah, exactly. Drink up, Scotty!
So the cloud of marijuana smoke is like trailing this kid around. And then Bugs Bunny, like, so they're smoking weed like at the park or something. And then they're like, oh no, the cops are coming. Cheese it. And
he's thinking about doing crack before the cops.
Although, that's right. That's what it is. Yeah. Because this girl dressed up like Blossom is like, you know, for $10, I could buy some mean crack rocks. And the other guy's like, yeah, that sounds great. And he's like, yeah, I think I'll try crack immediately after smoking marijuana. Why not?
And that's always the spurious that's the problem where just stick to pot. Like, say, there are dangers of pot. Like, especially fucking 12-year-old kids should not be smoking pot.
No.
No one's going to advocate that.
No.
So, like,
yeah, exactly. Responsible adults, 21 or over, in the states of Colorado or Washington. Keep that in mind if you're listening.
Exactly. And, you know, just focus on that. Focus on, like, what that could do to your schoolwork and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
Just go to this, like, you're going to do fucking crack immediately
afterwards. It's extreme. It's just like if you have any, your grades, that's over. That whole life of yours of having grades is over because you took a puff and now you're going right off a cliff.
And no athletes have ever smoked pot, Michael Phelps.
So Bugs Bunny shows up and actually because they think it's the cops. It's a silhouette of a cop.
Yeah.
Turns out to be Bugs Bunny impersonating a police officer.
Yep.
A far worse crime than being caught with marijuana or, hey, even crack.
That's true. That's dangerous. That's real dangerous.
And
that's,
so he's like, the kid, Michael, is like, you're a talking rabbit. And he's like, yeah, that's right. And I'm going to show you. And I'm doing a better Bugs Bunny right now than the guy who does Bugs Bunny in this thing.
Yeah, it's the first post-Mel Blanc Bugs Bunny, and this guy just did not have it down.
Yeah, it stinks. And so Bugs Bunny is like, I'm going to show you, you know, what you were 2 years ago or something. And then he, like, does a little Acme magic, and a time machine comes up, and you're just like, all right, kids, don't smoke weed because you're going to see a talking rabbit produce a time machine out of a little cookie box size package.
The most beloved cartoon rabbit of all time.
Yeah.
And so they go back in time for no reason, and they bring the George C. Scott marijuana cloud, which is stupid. Like, if you're Bugs Bunny, you're like, no, you're not coming in my time machine. You're the problem here. You stay in this timeline. I'm going to take
him
back.
But he's still high. I follow him around when he's high. You're not going to get rid of me.
They go back in time 2 years. There's a dumb joke about how the past is in black and white. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah,
and
there's some jokes in this.
at mostly inopportune times, by the way. It's like, and then they're going to find you with the needle still in your arm. And then someone like comes in and honks a horn and balloons fly in somebody's face. It's all poorly timed. So it's like the kid playing football or something like that. And then it's like, hey, we're over here by the bathroom at this park smoking marijuana.
Yeah.
And he like tries it and it's the best thing ever.
They also have this one moment because they in the beginning, George Bush Sr. is just like, drugs and alcohol. We're going to learn about the dangers of drugs and alcohol. And we never talk about alcohol at all except for one scene where the dad is weirdly taking a milk crate full of beer out of the fridge. And he's like, oh, three of my beers are gone. And the wife's like, you probably drank it while watching football last night.
Well, okay then. That's the responsible way to be inebriated.
I would love it, though, if he was
I bought
like,
this Anheuser-Busch delicious beer.
I would love it if he was like, I just noticed that there were exactly three beers missing. Doesn't that tell you I would remember drinking exactly three beers last night if I'm keeping that much of a hawkeye on my beer supply?
And then this escalates into a big fight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like now it's a domestic violence cartoon.
Why not? We're just shoehorning all this stuff into this 30-minute special.
Oh, no, I'm missing three beers. Luckily, I have one in the toilet tank.
Man, just hide. That's the thing. Alcoholics hiding booze around the house and stuff. I don't know. Do people hide weed around the house?
No,
are
you
people
just
that
keep
dependent
it,
on it.
You just keep it in the same box you always keep it in.
Well, keep that in mind, alcoholics. The fridge is fun.
But I just love, like, you know, oh, no more beer, huh? I guess I'll just switch to whiskey. It's 4:30 in the afternoon. This cartoon dad. And
it's a hard cartoon life. It's fucking driving all the way to the cartoon plant, coming back again every night.
Oh, your cartoon boss chews you out that day?
Oh my god, that guy. He's just drawn all wrong.
You want nothing more than this guy to go home and while he's driving his car back to his big mansion, he's stricken with a cartoon heart attack.
Yeah.
Drives off the side of the road, wrecks his car. Fucking then you gleefully attend his cartoon funeral.
Yeah, they shove his, just him in the cartoon morgue. That'd be great.
Maybe get a cartoon promotion, get a new hot cartoon wife. Now we're talking.
Finally, he's as cold as my ice cold beer.
With my government sanctioned beer.
So at one point, a Ninja Turtle shows up.
Yes, which only Michelangelo.
And
by
he's
the
party dude. Mm-hmm. And the way he has his pizza, you know he's probably, and you know, he lives in the New York City sewers. He's high on something.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's like basically they were like, oh, there's like a deleted monologue of Michelangelo being like, I was down that road before, bro. Didn't lead anywhere good.
I almost got taken out by the Shredder because I tried to go into battle whilst stoned.
Oh, is that that? I'm just imagining him on his marijuana benders where they got all those California accents. they all went out west, you know, to chill out in SoCal a little bit.
Probably. And also, you're trying to tell me none of those other Ninja Turtles and Splinter, the biggest opium head in all cartoon history, mm-hmm. couldn't have been in this thing? Come on.
Hey, was there a budget cut? I don't understand.
You drew one Ninja Turtle, just draw the other three.
All this needed to be is 30 minutes of Master Splinter telling you a harrowing tale of his time somewhere in Asia on an opium bender and like he went down the wrong alley or something. Just have a grim death storyline. Like,
I slept on a stone slab for 7 days. People used me as a bathroom.
I forget where I read this, but that reminds me of there's a story about like Jack Kerouac apparently got so fucking drunk somewhere when he was a merchant marine and he like passed out by the toilet and people just like pissing on him and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, hey, you know, this is it could have happened to Master Splinter.
He had a very Kerouac-esque life, I feel.
I think he did.
So at one point they're like, you shouldn't smoke marijuana because it'll mess up your brain. And the kid's like, my brain, huh? And then all of a sudden we're on this like Temple of Doom-esque minecart ride with
the Muppet Babies.
With Baby Piggy, Baby Gonzo, and Baby Kermit. And it's the trippiest, coolest, like Jupiter and Beyond the Infinity animation sequence you've seen in any Saturday morning cartoon.
Again, just give me the science facts. You know what I mean? Like,
but they're not using science, so they can't give you anything. They have to strike fear into your heart with awesome brain animation rides. Because there's no science in this. It's all shitty propaganda nonsense. Drug fear. There's no science here. So we're on this mineshaft thing. This kid's freaking out, which is great. Like, you got little Gonzo, like, taking pictures. Like, this is trippy. One of us. One of us.
Man, you wake up a Muppet baby, I'd kill myself.
Oh, yeah.
That is a real Google Gobble moment.
Some huge old lady with long legs is just telling you what to do and be quiet because the neighbors such and such.
Well, because the neighbors don't know I'm running this fucking illegal nursery for monsters in my house. And people wouldn't be too cool about it. Illegal monster nursery.
Now, kids, they're going to put you all to sleep if you don't be quiet.
Oh, dude, I just realized Muppet Babies was like Room. That book Room.
They never left the nursery.
They never left the nursery.
That's why they had to use their imagination. It's all they knew. Oh, thank God they could open their closet door and like a TIE fighter would be coming at them. Some sort of excitement.
Again, you want to talk about fucking marijuana.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, TIE fighters in my closet.
But that's what's amazing, too, about all of this, right? Like, the Ninja Turtles created by drugs. The Muppets created by drugs. Uh-huh. Alf, are you kidding me? Like,
you know what? I don't even want the stuff that Alf has come up on, you know?
No, actually, Alf was. The Permanent Midnight, that fucking Ben Stiller movie?
Yeah.
That's by the guy who created Alf, or that's about the guy who created Alf.
Are you serious? Yes, I never saw that movie.
Yeah, he's got a serious drug problem.
So, again, just the wrongest of wrong. I'm sure the Looney Tunes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Someone was smoking. They called them jazz cigarettes at that studio.
George H.W. Bush, I mean, he's director of the CIA. He was into something. He was into something.
He was the director of the CIA like in the 70s. Bet you they were still doing like some of those LSD experiments.
Right, yeah, like MK Ultra stuff.
Yes! So, again, we got a real pot calling the kettle black here with a lot of these cartoons telling me what to smoke.
Hey, W, you better watch this cartoon. It'll teach you something. Lay off that fucking crack cocaine.
It'd be great if like George H.W. Bush could take credit for creating Alf or something by slipping that guy drugs for years. It's an experiment, Bar.
See what kind of a family nighttime sitcom he could come up with when he's pumped full of MK Ultra bar.
We'll ruin his life, but we'll reap all the benefits.
Gotta get all the residuals from those ALF DVD sales bar.
Gotta air something on a Friday night bar. I mean, when the I don't remember the network it was on.
Well, I think ALF was ABC.
We'll tackle the Cheers juggernaut with a little alien.
It's about checks and balances, bar.
Cheers is becoming far too powerful.
Gonna get a cat-eating alien to take down all those winos.
American broadcasting system to
makes perfect sense.
Or serve it. Wait, C? What does ABC stand for?
I think it's American Broadcasting Corporation.
Yes.
There you go.
What's the next monster that shows up in this thing?
You got Huey, Dewey, and Louie at one point.
This is the song. So Huey, Dewey, and Louis.
Jesus.
And Huey, Dewey, and Louis show up. I don't call him Louie. It's Louis. I'm not that acquainted with him. He's a nice guy, but.
And they're like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm high on marijuana. And they're like, marijuana? Oh, no. That's bad news.
It's not like Gould's on all the time.
Sound like Joe Pesci right before he gets murdered in Goodfellas. Oh, no. Marijuana.
And they start singing this song, and it's great because, like, they're just, it's like, when you're in trouble, you have to say no, and you can say no these ways. And then all these, you can't understand a word they're saying. It's like, that's your Trisha Pesifer. It's like the gremlins singing fucking Snow White. I can't figure it out.
And then it's amazing because you can understand what they're saying through the whole show. But this song, it's like, then Alf comes in, he's like, and the kid's like, wait, what am I supposed to say when someone offers me drugs?
Well, maybe you shouldn't have gotten high. Maybe you would have then enjoyed this song and could have heard it straight.
It's so terrible. And they're all just singing and dancing. It's so dumb. And they all kind of just walk away after that. Like, just a really awkward, like, well, the song's over. Hope you got a lot of information out of that. It's just, keeps going.
It keeps going. Daffy Duck shows up in a bad scene. The girl gets tempted by George. See, George C. Scott is not happy enough that he's got the soul of this young boy. He needs to go younger and deeper and younger. So he goes after the little girl, and that doesn't go over too well. I think Winnie the Pooh shows up and saves her.
Yeah.
This guy's addicted to honey.
Where's the sugar council to be like, no sweets?
Yeah. This guy's so obese, can't even fit into a hole in a tree.
He can't even fit in his house. He's a shut-in.
I'm not taking life lessons from Winnie the fucking Pooh.
Honey pot calling the kettle black, dude, again. So then there's a scene where it's like Alf's house of horrors.
Oh, my God.
It's so terrifying. He's like, hey, why don't you come through this door? I got something really messed up to show you. And they walk
in. It's a dead clown. Found it by the railroad tracks.
Are you familiar with the works of H.P. Lovecraft?
Yeah, we got one of these on Melmac. We use it to torture traitors.
After that, I'll teach you about Heinrich Himmler.
So this is like, it's like the end of Lady from Shanghai. It's like Alf, this kid, and Orson Welles are walking around this house of mirrors. And he's just like, you know, sometimes on drugs, you look this way. And like they go in front of like different mirrors. And he's like, well, in this mirror, I look pretty cool. He's like, yeah, you look pretty cool, except you're stoned.
There's also one where one of the mirrors, he looks like Michael Jackson from Thriller.
He totally does.
Like, that's what happens when you do too much marijuana. You turn into Michael Jackson from Thriller.
And then cat eyes.
and we're out of there.
He winds up getting like flushed down something. It's the second of two instances where he's flushed down a drain.
Yep.
Like Michelangelo flushes him in the sewer, and then he gets flushed at the end of this house of horrors
this
for some
reason.
This is
just like an Alice in Wonderland thing.
Well, that's when, yeah, now he's running around this haunted amusement park where there's fucking Huey, Dewey, and Louis roller coasters coming after him.
They're like chasing
saws.
Yeah. Yeah. Out and out buzzsaws getting ready to chop this kid up.
And you know what's bullshit about this whole thing is at the end of the thing, he finally realizes, oh my God, I shouldn't do drugs. I'm going to go tell my parents. end of all of it. Like, yep. That should be the whole fucking thing, is how to, A, me as a parent, how to talk to my kid. It's like, well, you know, it's like Alf said, you're going to be in an amusement park one day. Talk to you later. Like, what am I supposed to glean from this as a parent or as a kid that's actual news I could use?
Yeah, like, the end of this is the parents have still no idea how to talk to their children, and the kids just really want to smoke weed. Because all their favorite cartoon heroes know what weed smells like, what it looks like. They know enough about it, yeah, that, like, they know you shouldn't do it because this will happen to you. Yeah. So you're like, all right, well, if Huey, Dewey, and Lewis know, like, that this happens to you when you smoke weed, like, mm-hmm, I could make the assumption that Huey, Dewey, and Lewis have smoked weed. Yeah. Like,
right, they've ran from buzzsaws before.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, Launchpad McQuack. That's what it smells like. Launchpad's jacket is what it smells like.
That's why they call him Launchpad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why you can't fucking land a plane.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of waking up with a needle in your arm, Launchpad McQuack. And I mean, you know, whatever. That's the end of it. He comes out of the closet and, like, the girl's, like, about to try a joint. He, like, throws all this delicious weed on the floor. And he's like, you shouldn't do that. Neither should I. Let's go tell Mom and Dad about it.
Nope.
First of all, no.
Like, exactly.
Wait, not after those three beers are gone and he's been drinking all day?
Yeah, I made him switch over to whiskey because there wasn't enough beer in the fridge.
In the milk crate full of beer.
Beats you bloody.
Maybe I'll tell Dad when Sunday night football isn't about to come on.
Oh, man, the Skins are down by 20 points. Can't do it. I mean, it doesn't. That should be the thing. It's like talking to your kids about this fucking thing. And that's never even the commercials that I learned from watching you, and then, like, that, like, castrated dad is like, oh, you know, like,
oh, I stepped in it now.
Just, there's that, the Rachel Lee Cook thing, never again. Not again, not like, let's talk about this. This is when you should do it. This is when you shouldn't.
Exactly. And also, not for nothing, have, like, a parent in the room, and the shot is, like, two kids sitting on the couch. Maybe it's even voiced by Bob Saget. Do, like, a How I Met Your Mother thing.
Sure.
And you see, like, two hands come up, and one's holding a bag of weed, and the other one's holding a fucking handle of whiskey. And they just go, the whiskey will kill you. This won't. Don't be stupid. End of special.
Or you could do nothing.
Or you could just do nothing, I guess, and let your kid find out for themselves what's going to happen. Because that's inevitably what's going to go on anyway.
Well, that's kind of this dad's attitude. Like, in the middle, she's, like, trying to work up the courage to tell Dad, and she's like, I think Michael is really weird. And he's ah, you know what, Cindy, all teenagers are weird, which means I'm going to stay out of it. Like, he's gonna masturbate in his room. I'm not going to talk to him about that. He's just going to figure it out on his own.
He knows damn well that Michael Jr. stole Michael Sr.'s beers.
Mm-hmm, yep.
But he has to be like, well, gee, mother, who took those three beers that were in here? Like, he knows, and he's like, all right. I'm
gee,
sure
mother,
so
who's
bad.
Beaten off in their bedroom again?
Gee, mother, these are a lot of cardboard-feeling socks in the drawer.
Gee, mother, where are my issues of Hustler?
Yeah. Oh, I had them, dear. I'm sorry. So let me say, I was not embarrassed watching this at all. I loved this. I watched it twice in one day. Wow. It's insane, and everybody should seek it out and watch it immediately.
Yeah, you should find it on our Facebook page. I was not embarrassed either. I think it is kind of embarrassing, like all kind of propaganda is embarrassing. But
it's embarrassing in the sense that there were people in this country that thought this was a good idea. By the way, this was simulcast on ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox.
What?
Yeah.
This was like...
It was aired, and...
This was like a presidential address.
Yeah.
Bar. Yep. Don't have time for that today. Just put on a cartoon.
Not going to debate today. Going to put on a cartoon in its place.
You know what they call this? Second term.
You think that that's what got Clinton into the White House? He aired this cartoon instead of a debate.
Yep.
I'm sorry that my distinguished opponent needs cartoons to make his talking points. Slick Willie will always debate.
Well, the cartoon worked on Dukakis.
Yeah, I smoked a lot of weed. I didn't inhale. We'll figure that out a few years from now. Point is, I showed up for this.
It stayed in him the entire time. Yeah. He never inhaled. He inhaled. He didn't exhale. Is that... Mm-hmm.
Oh, then George C. George C. Scott, the spirit of marijuana, contributed to that Clinton body count.
Yeah.
He followed him all the way to the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, all these crooked land deals. Now we're talking. And show her your dick.
And all the fast food.
Oh, no, George C. Scott, I don't think I should have relations with this intern. It might destroy my career.
No, do it. Here's a cigar. You know what to do. Come on, our dress. It'll be funny.
So are we led to believe it was a comically large marijuana cigar?
Oh, I see.
They call that a godfather in the streets.
They do.
Wow. Yeah, a little something from the Bronx on tonight's program.
I mean, you hollow out a cigar, you roll it all up with, like, you know, $50 worth of weed, to call it a godfather.
I say, you know what? I've learned a lot today on this episode. A lot that I did not know.
Well, and you know, we try to be educational here on Animation Damnation.
But I was a little embarrassed watching it because This is fucking weird. It's weird to be in your 30s watching this.
It is weird, I guess. Not embarrassing weird, though.
Well, to each their own.
You were watching this at work.
Well, imagine my embarrassment.
When your boss had...
Extra long lunch break today, eh, Siska?
Yeah.
That's Animation Damnation, the first of two that will be coming to you this November. Somewhere down the line. In a couple weeks, the other one will come out. It's going to be another listener-requested one.
Absolutely. Thanks again to Nick from Antarctica, all the way out there. There was also a Mishka and a Rhea who also wrote in, and some other people that I can't seem to find. But thanks to everyone who wrote in and requested this exact same cartoon.
It was seriously like 10 people. So yeah. It was good on you, everybody.
I think we should also quickly mention all the other stuff we have on that app.
Thank you.
There's Side Order of Sleazes.
Yes.
On-screen episodes, there's a bunch of bonus content if you're new to this show.
Right.
You might not be aware of, but there are a lot more for your ears.
You know what someone suggested we do it on-screen for is BoJack Horseman. I'd be down for that.
I got to finish it.
I got to start it.
Oh, it's great. Get ready to laugh. Until the next AD, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Zadek.
Take it easy.